If you always do what's right for the consumer, everything will take care of itself.
Welcome to the Build a Broker podcast. Each episode, you'll hear the journey of newly minted mortgage brokers from concept to first closed loan on their road to success. In less than 10 years, today's guest went from high-end retail to high-tech mortgages. You'll hear his path, learning from his mentors and various big brands in mortgages to craft a bespoke experience for his borrowers. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Aim high with Rocket Pro TPO. Their people-first approach offers unmatched support for mortgage professionals. Whether you're looking to boost productivity with their top-notch broker platform and stellar training, or are dreaming of becoming an independent mortgage broker, they've got your back every step of the way. Visit rocketprotpo.com/NMP today to get started. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS number 3030.
All right, season two of the Build a Broker podcast. Let's go. Season one, amazing. Met so many great newly minted brokers. Got amazing lineup set for you this season with season two. Thanks again to Rocket Pro TPO for being there to support the brokers, helping to grow the channel. Really appreciate your support and helping us put this on. So listen, standing up your mortgage company is hard enough. So Blake, when he decided to open up his mortgage company, Future Mortgage, not only did he want to go through the task of setting up a mortgage company, but he created his own core tech stack, which is difficult in a whole new level that we have never heard before on this show. And I'll tell you this, I mean, it worked. It really worked because not only was he able to do it and, hit Modix. You'll see his numbers. He's doing phenomenal. We'll talk a little bit about his production because it is truly amazing because he created his own core tech stack. So besides actually starting up this mortgage company, he's got his LOS, his CRM, and his point of sale that he created himself. It was so successful and such a great plan that he had outside investors clamoring with their checkbooks ready to help this mortgage broker / fintech play and just kind of hit their ground running fast. So we're going to learn why Blake decided to open up his broker shop. We're going to learn why his team calls Blake the captain. You'll even hear how one of the largest originators and mortgage brokers in the United States inspired Blake to pursue this path. Today, we've got Blake Bianchi, who is with the great Future Mortgage, who we all know does mortgages, but according to Blake, they do a lot more. But today we're going to focus on the story of, how you got set up, why you became a mortgage broker, a little bit into your history, Blake. So you guys can't see this because, this is an audio podcast for most people that are going to be watching this. But so he's got W-2s in the back of his screen over there. So I want to know what's going on there. But like, let's go into that. And then we're going to go into your history. We're going to talk about about how you've set up a technology company that just happens to do mortgages. We're going to talk about why you actually set this up, why you became a mortgage broker in the future. But let's go into why there are W-2s back there in plain sight that I could see.
Yeah, we'll start with that. So that is, I started doing that because when I started Future Mortgage, there's not a lot of transparency in the mortgage industry. And there's a lot of middle management and high cost structures. And I wanted the people to know that I would sacrifice my own income and I'd be transparent about what I make as a broker owner. In exchange for the value that I bring. So the reason why I frame that is because I spent the last 2 years sacrificing a lot in order to build this and to get it to the size that it's at. And so, in the mortgage industry, people don't know that you tell them one thing and it's not, they don't know if you're being transparent or not. I like to lead from the front with transparency and everything that we do. So I frame it so they can see it and we all know, what Blake makes. So
that's awesome. That's
That's pretty ballsy. I love it, man. And and obviously this is working, because I mean 2023, tough year for many, but you did over 200 units for the company, and that's impressive. Doubling what you did in 2022. Are those numbers pretty accurate? Or sometimes we're not 100%, but they're pretty accurate.
Yeah, we did four times the amount of business last year as we did in 2022. And I think we grew our revenue our volume 450%. So, tough year for everyone. And I think the main thing we try to focus on is, we know volume is going to contract in a harder, more difficult market, but there's still going to be transactions going on. And the amount of business you need to capture is a small sliver of the grand scheme of transactions going on. So it's still out there if you want to go after it and get it. And so, that's what we try to coach everyone, is that anyone can survive in any market. You just got to pivot and get after it.
Okay. Well, I have a lot more I want to ask about that and talk about, like, 2024 strategies, what you guys are doing today. But we have to talk about your history. So first off, you're relatively new to the industry. So 2015, you left Nordstrom's as a stylist. I guess that was 2014, and you work for one of the big retail lenders. You work for a lot of retail lenders. Speaking of lack of transparency, I mean, great brands, great companies, but like the epitome of no transparency. So what caused you to leave Nordstrom's as a stylist to join actually the mortgage industry as an LOA?
Yeah. So Nordstrom was my first, I worked in restaurants my whole life growing up. But Nordstrom was my first on the floor sales job. And I think for me, that was a real eye opener that I liked service. I liked taking care of people. And so I actually worked with a person there named Ferdy, who was like one of their number two top salespeople in all of Nordstrom. And I just picked up the cues that he did. He wrote 200, 300 handwritten cards every Christmas. He just had a very structured system, even for someone working at Nordstrom, right? And so that transitioned into, now I want to do that same kind of structure, but maybe in a different category or different industry. And my family is, I grew up in a mortgage banking family. And so actually I did not want to go into mortgage banking first. I thought maybe real estate or something like that. But then I had an opportunity to go work for a large retail lender. And when you get into mortgage, you don't really know, even to this day, I would say a lot of majority of retail loan officers still don't know the difference of platforms and margin and what's going on. So that's why people stay in certain parts of the industry, is because there's a lot of unknown. But when you look at my LinkedIn, people always go, wow, you moved around a lot. I moved around a lot because I wanted to learn new things from each company.
Yeah.
Or I wanted to move to management at one company or whatever I was trying to do to excel my career faster. So that's why I moved around a lot. And so at each company, I learned something new. One of the great ones on there was Loan Factory. So Tuan Nguyen is the number one loan officer in the country. And he's a good friend of mine. And so I wanted to know how he was doing it. And he was closing helping an insane amount of customers, right? I think at one point over 1,000 a month. And so I wanted to understand how he did that. And technology played a big role in that. And that started to pivot my mindset a little bit as well. So each company started to pivot the way I thought about things to ending up here. So.
Well, I mean, and it's interesting because I look at I'm going to call name some names here. I mean, Caliber Home Loan. I mean, one of the best distributed retail models out there. Let's talk about it. It definitely was at during its prime time, probably, into 2015, 2016. So I'm assuming, you must have learned enough about that where you went from LOA to being an originator there. So you learned some stuff there. Loan Depot, I mean, technology, distributed retail, but I mean, technology, you can't get more technological than that. Question: did you go down the Melo slide?
Okay. The Melo slide. Yeah.
Okay.
The Melo headquarters is pretty cool.
That is pretty awesome. That's great. So, yeah.
Well, that,
so
that that gave me a little taste of mortgage companies are so archaic and office space is so old school. That kind of turned my mindset into like a Google headquarters kind of thing. So that was another eye opener going there.
Okay, so you have a slide at a future mortgage? Is there?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
In progress.
Fantastic. This is great for the recruiting video. So you join up, you're going to get a slide sometime in the future. Well, that's so. When in your career, you know, so here we are. You know, you're almost 10 years into the business. But what point in your career did you realize? Oh my goodness, Blake, this is it. That I found my calling. This is what I'm going to do for my life's work.
Yeah, I think starting Future was that for me. I always like doing loans and originating, and most recently at loanDepot, running a large, starting and opening and scaling a large branch for them, and then a large area in Idaho. But my passion, I think, is more into integrating technology into mortgage. I like to automate things, drive costs down, help loan officers scale their business. Like those things are to me now in my career, I'm more passionate about that than I am to actually originating the loans. And so that happened, you know, 2 years ago when we started the company. My passion, my focus switched more into that role as a better leader than a loan officer.
So is that why there's a captain's hat in the back of your office over there?
Yep. The team got me the captain's hat. So they call me the captain. So yeah, I just I want to be a servant leader. And I think in mortgage, a lot of times it's the managers and everyone else is separated. I want everyone to feel equal and on the same page. So I spent a lot of time just out in the open with everyone all day. They got me the captain's hat.
are you getting on the phones? Are you make calls with them?
Absolutely, yeah. So one of my biggest pet peeves in the industry is a separation of leadership and the people in the trenches every day. And a lot of times you would feel as a loan officer or even a branch manager, anyone in sales, that they just don't understand what we need and why we need it. I'll call leads that come in. I'll do whatever to sharpen the iron. Cause I just don't ever want to get disconnected from the process.
Yeah, no, that's great. I think that's important. So, you know, you said something there about servant leadership, and, you know, if I've heard this tossed around, a lot of different places, and I've actually started to, oh my goodness, I'm totally drawing a blank on the guy who wrote the book, but there's a book I'm reading about servant leadership. So it's a new concept to me. I know many people have discussed it and embraced it in our industry, but for those who don't know, and for me as someone who's just digging into the servant leadership book, share with us what does servant leadership mean to Blake and to your world?
Yeah. I mean, to me personally, it's about leading from the front. A lot of times you feel like in mortgage, you can't reach out on the weekends. You can't reach out after hours. You can't ask a question because it might be a stupid question. Certain things like that. And that's not how we operate here. Everyone is here building a culture of helping each other. So we have group texts with everyone here, company-wide texts. You can call me at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. Don't feel bad. If it's a weekend, don't feel bad. Because when you win, I win. And so that's the mentality I think that people get away from, is that they grow a bigger organization and they start to get disconnected. Oh, I don't have to do that. I'll never be that way. So to me, I want to serve. Actually, I joke with everyone that I'm everyone's assistant. I'm here to serve everyone. And that means if I take the trash, I'll take the trash out. If I have to answer phone calls, I'll answer phone calls. So it's whatever gets our team to the finish line and we win. And so that's all I focus on.
So did you take on a lot of this mindset, like when you were working for big retail, when you working for these companies?
Yeah. I mean, so when I was producing, and I still produced last year, but a little bit less, but the problem was that when you're a producing manager or producing leader, you focus a lot on yourself. It's just human nature. It's how do you not focus on yourself when you're when your financial responsibility comes from that, right? And so for me, that's why I posted W-2s, because I'm willing to make a lot less. I'm willing to sacrifice everything if it means we all win and grow bigger. And so at some point I decided, okay, instead of originating, I'm going to disconnect from that, even though that's where majority, all the money is made in sales, because then I could become a better leader, a selfless leader for everyone. Instead of always focusing on, okay, I need to, I'm not, that's my realtor, that's my builder. So now when we get inbound stuff, like we just got a new realtor inbound today, that I hand that off to someone else. And so that's building real value for your loan officers, is being a selfless leader who gives to them. So any opportunity we get, any sponsorship event, it's for everyone, and we distribute it to everyone on the team. So that way everyone has an opportunity to succeed.
So Blake, could you have done, you know, that and being with that mindset as a team leader, as a, you know, working for one of these big brands?
Yeah. I mean, you can be that way at any company. I think that, the reason why I like the broker side the most is because, and this goes back to when I was friends with Tuan, he said, if you always do what's right for the consumer, everything will take care of itself. And so in my mindset, when I align my business and I look at all these things, I go, okay, pricing, margin, what the consumer is actually getting for a loan is really important to me. Cause I think service is subjective. So when someone says, oh, well, I charge four times as much cause I have better service, that same loan officer can come to broker and offer the same service, in my opinion. So you have pricing and margin on one section, you have technology, which is important, and then you have your service and your operations and execution. And so I think you can do it at a lot of different places. I just say that you need to make sure you checkmark all three buckets.
Yeah.
The brand that you work for, like if people here don't say they work at Future, they just say I'm the XYZ team. I don't care. This is not about ego. This is about giving your client the best deal, taking care of your family with a better commission plan, and then having technology to help you operate your business so you can spend more time with your family and less time sitting behind your desk. I don't think, from my opinion, there's no company out there that offers all three. That's why Future exists. We're trying to bridge that gap.
Fantastic. And like, what was the, like, where was the point? Like, what was the kind of the breaking point where you said, okay, you know something, the only way I can do this, I got to do my own thing, you know, and where you decided to make that leap, become a mortgage broker, create your future.
Yeah. Yeah. No pun intended. I think that started. So I put together a pitch deck, which had like all my ideas for our operating system, our technology, our pricing model, all this stuff. And then I started to present that to investors. That was 2021. And I told my wife, I said, if this sticks and we do get an investor, like it's over. Like, I'm happy where I'm at. Loan Depot is a great company. And they had a lot of great things. And so, but I knew there were some things that I wanted to do. I always wanted to be an owner and run my own version of a mortgage company. And so we met a really great investor here in Idaho, and we closed our seed round with them. And then that's what happened. So it was really me just getting all my ideas on paper and how I wanted to do this. And if someone believed in me, like I believed in my vision, then we were going to do it. And so that's what happened. And Travis and Dave are great investors.
Do you want to own your future? Be empowered on your journey to becoming an independent mortgage broker with Rocket Pro TPO. With Rocket, you're not just getting guidance, you're gaining a real partner in your success story. You'll feel their genuine care and appreciate their personalized service as you take this significant step forward in your career. Plus, their nearly four decades of industry expertise make them an unbeatable choice. Visit rocketprotpo.com/NMP today to get started. Equal housing lender, license in all 50 states, NMLS number 3030.
So getting a mortgage company stood up is difficult enough. You added actually the extra layers of saying, hey, I'm also going to seek outside money, which means that, you know, not that you have a boss, but you know, you have some level of accountability, I think that's great. I think that's a good thing to have. I mean, you're always accountable to someone. I mean, you're accountable to a borrower. Yeah. You're accountable to your staff. You're accountable to your kids and your wife. So you come up with this idea, you come up with, and tell us, you know, like what's the, what is the core of this idea? Like, you know, you created a future mortgage. Like, what's the reason that you created it, and what are you doing that no one else out there is doing?
Yeah. So, when I talk about this, I stay away from pricing and commission because, there's a lot of different models out there. Those things can be moved around a lot. But from a technology standpoint, I think that's what makes us different than everyone else. And so when you look at the mortgage industry and you look at all the top companies, all of them are using old software, Black Knight, Encompass, Empower, maybe doing a little tweaker version of it for themselves. Most companies are using Salesforce. Salesforce is a massive CRM, but not user-friendly for the loan officer. Then you have all these SaaS softwares, HomeBot, HomeIQ, Loan Center, Optimal Blue, Mortgage Coach, MBS Highway. I mean, there's, you know, 15 or 20 softwares. So for us, I wanted to make it so that way our system was all condensed into one operating system. And so the goal of it is to make it so that the loan officer spends 99% of their time out doing what they're best, which is meeting with partners, building their business. When the loan comes in or the application comes in, AI and ML can read the income, do the whole pre-approval for them, basically, as a goal. And the reason why is because there's so much in this industry, there's so much room for error when you have 100 loan officers. You don't know, like half of them do income a certain way, the other half maybe don't. Maybe one of them doesn't even check the income and send the pre-approval letter out, and now the brand's tarnished by one person, right? And so all those things now with technology the way it is can be automated. We can de-risk a lot of that process. And so what Future is doing is we're on one side, we're focusing on this really strong loan officer operating system to help them automate their business and maintain their business. And then on the other side, we're building our POS and LOS, which hopefully will be like more of an autonomous system. So they're spending a lot less time on the loans, and hopefully that increases our approval rating and gives us way stronger pre-approvals.
So did you say you created your own core tech stack? I mean, so the core tech stack, LOS, POS, CRM, is that your own?
Yeah. So that was the whole reason we started Future, was to build an entire core system with our own structure and functionality. And the reason was is because when you're working at larger mortgage companies, you realize that they're too big to pivot. Okay, they're not ever going to get rid of Salesforce. They're not ever going to get rid of Encompass. So they're really just holding on for as long as they can. Like, okay, yeah, technology won't replace old belly-to-belly business. And I agree with that. It won't. Like, I think business will be belly-to-belly for a long time. But the back end, the operating system, the LOS, the POS, the CRM, all these things could be way better. And the loan officers will actually use them if you make it easy for them. Like the fact that most mortgage companies don't even have a phone app. It's like, I can't even, if I'm on the go as a loan officer, I can't just pull up my client, my database, and send emails or alerts or whatever I want to do. We have hundreds of features we're working on for this year. But the whole point of Future was to build a system that makes the loan officer, helps them build their business and maintain their business. And then on the other side of that, sure, we give them a better commission plan, better optionality for their clients, better rates. But that's just one side of the business. The main core is building a system for them.
You know, and I mean, if you don't have technology, unless you have servicing, your company's worth nothing. You know, like in the mortgage business, like everyone actually has this, you know, inflated ego, but no, I built it up. But it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference what you built up, because someone can come along and do it better, you know, and buy the same technology that you have.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing proprietary unless obviously the only thing of value is your servicing book and your technology.
Yeah.
And very few companies have the chutzpah to go actually and develop their own technology. So you saw this
not
opportunity.
Easy.
Yeah. I'm looking at your resume. I don't see, you know, your technology background.
Yeah.
So where did you actually, you know, like come up with this idea saying, hey, listen, I could do this better. Because you're basically saying you could do it better than some of the biggest brands out there. Where did this come from?
Yeah. So, I'm not a technical founder, as they call it in the VC world. But I have domain expertise and I know how to set up the architecture the way I want it to function for consumers and loan officers. And I think when you look at a lot of tech companies out there that are building tech, what they lack is the actual user case, right? Like they haven't done thousands of loans. They haven't even been a loan officer. Mm-hmm. And so they're building something, which I'm sure it'll be great, but it's not going to have everything that I need it to have in order to be a top loan officer. And so, yeah, I found a really good development team. We have a good head of product, and I lay out the ideas and then we execute on them. But yeah, I mean, building tech, there's a lot of giants out there that are building POS and LOSs, but a lot of them are just focused on one singular thing. Like, oh, I'm just going to build a really good LOS, or I'm going to build a really good this. And the problem with the loan officer is they don't have the mindset. They don't want to go have 20 different subscriptions of softwares, and then they'll use it for each one 1% of the time. And so you have to figure out how to create connectivity between all that. And really what I found out, the only way to do that is to rebuild everything yourself. Like, you need to have an all-in-one operating system if you want the loan officer to use it every day and you want everything to live in one system. So, yeah, that's what we do.
I mean, so not only did you stand up your own mortgage company, but you got outside investors and developed your own tech stack. You just don't like doing anything easy, Blake. That is clear. So, you know, listen, I mean, we could probably spend an entire hour talking about the software and talking about actually, what it was like to actually to go out there and do the presentations to find your investors. I know I'm curious about that. I know a lot of our listeners are curious about it, but I do want to stay focused on the mortgage company and standing that up. So, you know, when you stood that up, when you decided to actually to say, all right, we're going to do this. We're going to become actually a mortgage brokerage. What are some of the obstacles that you had setting up your mortgage company that you weren't anticipating when you first set out to open up the company?
Yeah. I mean, I actually had my first go around I did a joint venture with a real estate company for Great Rate Home Loans was the first one. And so I got a little bit of insight into a smaller company, but just setting that up, which helped me understand doing this future mortgage, right? But I think a lot of times, like, every loan officer goes, oh, I want to start my own brokerage shop. I want to do this. And I think it's good if you have a mindset of wanting to put your W-2s on your desk and make nothing for a while. But I think there's a lot of obstacles, right? You have compliance, you have audits, you have you have to manage loan officers, right? We have 20-something loan officers now. I want to get to 100 by the end of the year. So that's a lot of personalities and a lot of people. And then, you know, scaling operations, making sure that you're checking all these files, making sure that there's no fraud going on or things like that. Making sure payroll is done quickly. Accounting is perfect. So it's really, execution is key. Yeah. People will worship you for executing. A lot of times I focus a lot on innovation and technology. And one of Rocket's isms is innovation is rewarded, but execution is worshipped. And to me, that's a big one. And because a lot of times we focus on these big things all the time, but really what it comes down to is you need to execute first. And then everything else can fall into place. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of obstacles. Every day is an obstacle. So it just depends on what we're dealing with for the day.
Well, that is amazing. And I mean, so in terms of setting up the company, with your accounting, I mean, people don't realize actually how important the accounting system is. You know, we focus on our tech stack that we know in the industry, but your accounting system, you know, how you're paying your vendors, how you're paying your employees. Yeah. So what are you using in terms of that?
Yeah. So we use QuickBooks and we have a controller. So we have a bookkeeper / controller who runs our finances. And then we have in-house, a payroll team that does all the payroll. But we actually took it a step further. So inside of our software for the company, we use AI to like future forecast earning revenue, expenses, net income. So I can tell how the business is going to be for the next 3 months starting now. It could be off, obviously, like the market changing and certain things throws off volume. But overall, I can get a good scope of like, okay, here's how the business is running, and here's how we've done in the past, and here's what it thinks the system's telling me what we should be doing the next couple months. And so that helps me because what happens is during the last couple of years, business was so tough that companies are trying to look at their cash or their runway. Oh, are we going to make it out of this? How do we pivot out of this? And every company had that same thought process in 2022. And I remember I met with my investors and we spent 6 months working on projections and revising numbers. And I had a financial analyst that I worked with every single day. And he's still a really good friend of mine. And I talk to him every week. And now we don't have to watch numbers like that anymore. But it's important when you run a broker, when you start a any company, you just remember that you're running a small business in a sea of big businesses. And so if you want to grow and scale, you need to operate like a big business. You can't do payroll once a month. You have to operate like the big companies operate. So the sooner that you can get your business plan refined and make sure that you have the right people in place for accounting and for payroll and all these different things, the less headache it'll be for you as you scale. And I learned that the hard way. And it was a hard 2022 was a hard year. But once you figured it out, 2023 was a great year. So,
I mean, so you didn't go to business school. So like, where did you learn these skills? Like, where did you learn, how to think, like a big business, in a small business kind of world?
Yeah. So for me, my first business I started a business in high school, which was a clothing company. I imported and exported stuff from overseas, from Italy. I flew to Italy. We were importing materials. That business turned out not to work out for me. That's where I learned to run my first business. And then my second one was the second mortgage company, which I did with Remax Real Estate. And that was my second one, which worked out well. That one's still in business. And I sold that back to them. So now they run that. I didn't need to go to school for it because I was obsessed with it. So I probably watch 5 hours and read 5 hours of articles and videos every night on running a better accounting, marketing, technology, trying to learn how to talk more technical to my developers. You can go to school for it, or you can be obsessed and learn about it outside of school. For me, it just was something I'm just obsessed with doing it every day. So I self-taught myself.
Where are your resources? Like, where do you finding the right videos to watch, the right books to read, the audiobooks? Like, what are your sources for these things?
Yeah, so I learned a lot about the mortgage industry side of it from either HousingWire or the mortgage websites, right, that are pushing out information about new startups or companies acquiring other companies, stuff like that. When it comes to like accounting and things not mortgage related, everyone goes to YouTube. I'm a visual learner for sure. So like, I like to watch videos and understand that kind of stuff. Because we have investors and because we have, we meet with, investors all the time, like I need to be able to have the IQ to talk to them about a lot of high level stuff. And so, I think we did over 100 meetings with venture capitalists in the last 3 months or 4 months. And so every wow. time that they would ask me something I didn't know the answer to, I'm writing it down. So I'm making a list of hundreds of things, and I'm going back to my current investor and saying, "Hey, what is this? And so it's like helping consumers get a loan, right? Like, you have to learn as fast as you can without too many fires. And so that's really how it happened for me. It's just every time I get put up against a roadblock, I have to figure out how to get through that roadblock as fast as I can. And so it's a lot of learning.
So I'm assuming, you're wearing a Rocket TPO All Access T-shirt. You're a top partner with Rocket. I'm assuming you've at some point, relied on them for some education and some knowledge. I mean, you don't get to be, as huge as Rocket is and as impactful as Rocket is, without being amazing. You've already quoted one-ism in our conversation here. So, how did you leverage, your access to Rocket to, set Future up?
Yeah. Rocket's been a great partner for us, and we partnered with them in, I think May or June of last year. They do a lot. They advocate a lot for the broker side. And they realize that most brokers are small businesses. And so they really try to help us even financially with like early payoff penalties and certain things they do. Also to like flying us out, like so our team's going out there in March for the next All Access. But they have top speakers. They had these breakout sessions where they had you could focus on like the psychology of selling or leadership or recruiting. So they pour a lot into helping you build your business, which I think is really important for me. But really why we like Rocket a lot too is because of the philanthropy. So like when you go to downtown Detroit, and most of us don't know this outside unless you go visit them. But when you go visit Detroit, and it's been through a lot of hard times in Detroit, you see that Rocket and Dan Gilbert poured a lot of money into revitalizing downtown, buying buildings and restaurants and giving out grants and just everything they do for Detroit. So, you know, part of it was good, you know, everything we need for business, good pricing, good leadership, good execution, the events they help us with. But the other part of it too is it's a culture fit, right? Like, there's a lot of mortgage companies out there, and for us, we want to give our business to someone who is going to make an impact on their community. And if it just has to be a culture fit. That's it. And so for us, it's not only a culture fit, but it's also a really well-run business. So,
fantastic. All right, listen. Let's say you could transport yourself, get in a DeLorean, drive 88 miles an hour, go back to 2015, you know, and have a conversation, you know, with yourself as a stylist at Nordstrom's, you know, considering this career in mortgage banking. What are you telling yourself?
Man, I mean, depends on what day you ask me, but I would say that generally speaking, I couldn't imagine myself doing anything else. I mean, yeah. I think everyone in mortgage and real estate would always like, wow, what else could I do, right? It doesn't matter if I was doing mortgage or real estate or what I'm doing. I just have a passion for running a business and doing being with the loan officers that I'm with. And so for me, I would probably tell myself speed it up and get there faster. But by doing that, you would miss all the hurdles and the learning curves that it's impossible to be a leader of a mortgage company unless you've been through the trenches. And so there's no going from A to Z. You have to hit all the steps in between. And so for me, I would just tell myself to stay the course and believe in yourself, because, there's probably a lot of times where people doubt themselves a lot in this industry.
Fantastic. And any particular books that have inspired you, or, you know, you've mentioned Tuan as one mentor, but if you any books you've read or other mentors that you can share?
Yeah, I mean, my biggest mentor is my dad, and he's at Loan Depot now. And I grew up in a mortgage family. But yeah, he really, even to this day, helps me a lot. And so, I would say he was a top loan officer and now he's an executive. So, that would be my mentor. And then people like Tuan are mentors too, that have come along and that helped me with understanding different sides of the business, broker side or Rocket or technology. I would say those are my two people.
Fantastic. And do you read at all?
Do I read?
Yeah.
I just buy books.
I see some books. Yeah. It's
really weird. Now, I'll read some stuff, but I'm a visual learner or audio. So I'll do podcasts. Yeah. I've read How to Win Friends and Influence People. I've read Raving Fans, and there's a couple of other ones up there. But now that I have a kid and a family, I spend less time reading and more time trying to listen to audio while I'm driving.
Yep. Same here, man. And by the way, and I've read studies actually that we retain information a lot better than when we hear it than when we read it. So, that's great. Well, Blake, listen, man, such an amazing story. You know, like, you know, I've interviewed so many people over the years, and you know, no one has a story like the other. But this is just so unique. The fact actually that you've taken your business, you've seen opportunities along the way by working for different companies. You've picked up things from these different companies, have built it into your own business. Very, very exciting, Blake. Thank you so much joining us today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Blake's got mortgage banking in his blood. He couldn't stay away. He tried other career paths, but in the end, the one that his father already established was the one that Blake knew he would be able to have the biggest impact. Blake leads from the front of the room. That's clear. You know, full transparency. I mean, come on, he shows his W-2s right there, right behind him. You know, this guy does everything he can to be a resource for his originators versus being a boss. You know, it's like Blake is their assistant. You know, this servant leadership and the servant leadership mindset is something that you see more and more. There's some of the best companies in the mortgage industry taking on this mindset. You know, they're hyper focused on supporting the originators, giving them the tools that they need to do or that they need to support the borrowers and help the borrowers, you know, make the best decisions and do it actually in the most efficient and least painful way possible. Clearly, Blake sees this opportunity, and I believe this mindset will be the dominant mindset with the future winners in the mortgage industry.
Connect with the mortgage experts and elevate your professional journey. Visit rocketprotpo.com/NMP today. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS number 3030.
And I'm Andrew Berman. Thank you for listening.